what doesn't this guy do? If you're going to talk about the animating contest of liberty, he is right there in it. And it's exciting to watch. It's exciting to have him on. He's a lawyer. He's an author. He's a producer of film. He's a filmmaker. He's a tweeter. He's a character. I love him. I'm so glad he's on. Mike Cernovich, welcome to the Power Hour.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about Hoaxed. We brought you on to talk about the Google censorship, the discrimination lawsuits that are going on, what your interview with Breitbart. We'll get to that. I want to start with you, because as I was doing research on you, I became more and more fascinated by your journey or your life or whatever you want to call it. Over the last 3.5 years, 4 years, you've really, really been thrust into the public limelight. What has that been like for you? What does that mean, and how has that changed Mike Cernovich?
Yeah, it's been very bizarre because I was always somebody who lived a normal life, and then I would just goof off anonymously. And when you become a public figure, the biggest change in your life is that people will believe things about you that are completely counterfactual and counter-narrative, such that when friends of mine read about me, they go, who is this person I'm reading about? Because that has nothing to do with who you are. And you have to get used to that. I know a lot of people who are public figures struggle with that. You want to correct the record, and how dare they say these things about me? And you just have to become at peace with knowing that people are going to believe things that about you that aren't true. And then, of course, you have to realize that people are going to twist anything you've ever said. They're going to make soundboards out of you, click things out of context, delete when you're saying you're sarcastic, and try to manufacture a completely false picture of you. And that's something, too, you just have to learn to accept.
How does your family take that? How does your wife take that?
She's gotten better. It was rough at first. It's always hard. It's always hard, you know, for a woman to just sit by while people are trashing her husband. And I told her, hey man, this is emotional energy you're expending into this. That's just what they want you to do. We can't waste our time and energy focusing on the attacks.
What's over the last few years here, what is the most egregious lie that you've heard said about you?
Well, there's so many. The most bizarre is that I'm Islamophobic, which is weird because I've never really talked about Muslims at all. And that's what you get used to, is people, they'll find a new label to try to stick. They'll say, oh, he's racist. And people go, well, I mean, we don't believe that. And they'll say, well, he's Islamophobic, or he's a men's rights activist, or he hates women, or one thing after another. And probably the most egregious is they lie about Pizzagate. They claim that I like came up with it and I was saying all this stuff about pizza parlors and things. But when you actually go back and look at what I was posting about, I was posting about things like Jeffrey Epstein stuff and Jimmy Savile, just things completely unrelated to the parlor. So the media keeps trying to say that I created that or tried to set someone up or falsely accuse people of things. And of course, that's not what I was doing. So probably the lies about Pizzagate are the most egregious.
What have you been most proud of over the last few years that you've done? You say, wow, I'm so, what I've accomplished here, this is something. I'm proud of this.
Yeah, I made Jod Conyers, a longstanding member of Congress, resign due to my reporting and uncovering a secret sexual harassment settlement that he engaged into unlawfully using taxpayer money. And that's one of those moments, it's almost like surreal, where you're like, whoa, dude, this is like reporters worked their entire career and will never be able to say that they forced a member of Congress to resign. And that's one of those really surreal moments. And then the same thing, too, when I broke the Susan Rice unmasking story. I've hit some stories that would be career highlights for people who had a career in journalism. And for me, it was just something I dabbled my toes in for about a year or two and yet hit them home runs.
Is there anything that you've regretted over the last few years?
Yeah, man, the provocateur stuff, you know, the immaturity, that sort of thing. The internet used to be a different place, of course, so in a way you can say, well, the internet was different and everything, but everybody was kind of shock jocking on Twitter, you know, 2011, 2012, 2013 era. It really was a different place, but I didn't need to, you know, be shocking for the sake of being shocking. I don't know why I wanted to be the Howard Stern of Twitter or something that was sort of dumb and counterproductive.
Now, your interview on 60 Minutes that happened a couple of years ago, What was that like? Was that like a holy cow, I've made it kind of moment, or holy cow, I'm in the crosshair kind of moment?
That was a weird one because everyone was expecting me to be crushed. And I remember the lead up to it on Twitter, people were saying Cernovich is going to get destroyed. So 60 Minutes was trending. Now, yeah, I'm trending. And then the episode airs, everybody's quiet. All the haters. That just total silence. They couldn't even try to spin that as some kind of loss for me.
Did you go into this? Obviously, you were guns a-blazing. You were ready to go. You knew that it was going to try to get spun on you.
Yeah, they weren't ready for me. I treated it like a heavyweight fight, Madison Square Garden. It was your main event moment. Yeah, it really was.
You have a knack, I would say, and I've seen you talk about this in a couple of interviews, your knack to see where things are going. Where is, you were the one of the first to be on the Trump train for the election, or at least seeing here's where this is going, here is why. And you compared that knack that you have, you compared it to Wayne Gretzky one time, and I love Gretzky, so that fascinated me. Explain that.
Right. People asked why Wayne Gretzky was so good, and he said, I skate to where the puck is going, not to where it's been. And then people said, well, that's, it's interesting. It's one of those things that gets quoted. But he was a kid. He would watch every hockey game on Canadian TV, and he would trace it. He would trace every play and every move over and over again on a piece of paper. And that's how he developed his intuition. He developed that ability to kind of spot where the puck was going to go. And I do that. I've studied everything, current affairs, psychology, law, persuasion, marketing, history, philosophy. And through that, you're able to just see where things are going and where the puck is going to go and where the trends are headed. And that's why right away I knew Trump was going to win.
What do you see? Of course, we're obviously getting to Google and the discrimination censorship, but where do you see this world going, America going right now?
It's going to get a lot worse. I keep saying it's going to get a lot worse, and the censorship is going to get a lot worse. They're going after people, stopping them from even opening bank accounts, and that's all going to get much, much worse. And unfortunately, I think it's going to lead to a violent backlash.
So you see some kind of minor civil war or some kind of maybe, or what are we saying here?
Yeah, I wouldn't say civil war. That's kind of played out, and I've been hearing that ever since I was a little kid. But when you're denying people even the ability to open a bank account, you know where that leads. You're leaving people with no options. You have people with nothing to lose. That's bad. It's bad for the social order. And, of course, the Antifa violence and the far left-wing terrorism that's being in many cases celebrated by the media is leading us into a dark place.
Where does that lead? Our YouTube channel got totally canceled. I know you've been censored left and right. Where does that, the future of shows like this and what you do?
I don't know where the censorship stops. That's for sure. But I do know, I'll give you a great example. You know how people do man on the street interviews?
Yes.
You go out in public, interview people, okay? Everybody knows that if you appear in a video in public and there's a camera, there's no privacy violation. Well, Millie Weaver of InfoWars did one of those man on the street interviews. YouTube is threatening to take her video down as a privacy violation. And you would say, privacy violation? Well, where's your release forms? What do you mean? You don't have to sign a release form if you're interviewing people in public. But that's what the tech companies are going to do is they'll outright ban people if they can get away with banning people, and then they'll paper trail everybody else to death. So if you're, they say, well, we can't ban you because this video is, there's nothing wrong with it. We'll play that corporate game, right? Show me your paperwork. Oh, we need it in triplicate. Oh, oops, we lost that copy of the paperwork. Can you resubmit it? Oh, yeah, we can't find it, so we just took your video down. That's what's going to happen now.
Your phone, it's cutting out a little. I don't know, your microphone is moving or something. If you could get a little still with your microphone, it sounds real clear, but when you move, it starts to go out a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. I walk and talk. I'll sit still here for a minute.
I'm the exact same way. I totally understand. No, you sound perfect now. That's very good. That's you know, YouTube, places like YouTube, obviously it's such a big part of our culture, and it's like, that's where the forum is, that's where the arena is. Part of me, my mindset is, well, you have to go into that arena, but another part of me thinks, well, I should just eschew it and just go away from it as far as I can and not have anything to do with it. Your thoughts back and forth that way.
Yeah, they're going to have to cut my head off. I'm not going to do it for them. I'm not a martyr. I don't believe in suicide. And if the censorship is going to hit me, I'm not going to give them anything. And I'm certainly not going to try to be some kind of martyr or self-immolate.
Now, we've seen the quote-unquote left, I mean, whatever that means, the left has been pointing the finger, screaming for censorship. But this censorship, I have the feeling that it's not going to stop with the conservative voice. It's going to be total censorship of everybody, including them.
Yeah, there was a Facebook group that made fun of Alex Jones, and he got banned from Facebook. And it was a big page, and they ended up getting banned because a lot of people are claiming now that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic hate speech. Now, I don't agree with that personally, but that is a view that's taking hold. So foreign governments and law enforcement groups and everything are getting a lot of these people who they called Copwatch and other sites. They're getting them banned. And frankly, I'm thrilled to see it.
Thrilled in what way? Because now maybe they'll start to change their position or what?
Never trust a man or a woman who doesn't eat your own cooking, right? So they want to serve us this slop. Oh, companies can ban anyone they want. Oh, they can ban these ideas. Oh, they can ban Alex Jones. That's what you're serving everybody else up. Okay, you can eat that now. You can have that slop. Enjoy yourself.
Let's get to this big story out of Google. You had an interview on Breitbart. The lawsuit, give us a little bit of background. The employees of Google are suing because of discrimination, because of their conservative viewpoints, and the judge has just ruled that this lawsuit can continue. What does this mean, Mike Cernovich?
Yeah, there was a racial discrimination filed against YouTube because they do discriminate, as a matter of fact, against especially whites and Asians and also conservatives, and the lawsuit was filed trying to prove that. Now, to prove your case, you need to get past a motion to dismiss and then get into discovery. Discovery is where you get to go through all the emails and you get everything, man. And I'm a lawyer, and it shocks me to this day what people put in email. It's 2019, and you would think people would have learned by now that if you want to be a shady character, don't put in writing. That's absolutely not the case. People feel, or they're, you know, mid-level bureaucrats or whatever, they feel above the law. I can't imagine the hate and vitriol and discrimination and nasty, nasty hate speech coming in within Google. And that's all going to come out now because of this lawsuit.
How is Google going to react? How is the media going to react to this? Let's assume that's true.
Well, the media has been trying to pretend that this big lawsuit win didn't happen, right? The case was covered in local news, the San Francisco papers, and it was covered in a couple conservative outlets. But the major media outlets want to pretend like it's not happening, and CNN has had a more or less a blackout on the story.
What's to stop that from just continuing? Just ignore.
Well, eventually it gets too big, and that's, of course, why the media wants to destroy social media. So the way the game used to work, you remember, you and I were of the generation where if the media didn't cover it, it didn't happen, right? That was just it. Then social media came, and then the story would get so big on social media that the mainstream media outlets would realize, oh, we're going to miss out on the clicks. We're not going to be able to be a part of this conversation. The conversation is going to be had without us, and then they would wait for a story to get huge on social media, and then the media would rush in and actually cover it. That's why they want to shut down social media so nobody can talk about it again, and then they just ignore it. And we go back to this. I mean, we remember this. Al Gore's son was arrested for a marijuana charge. Now, do I care that he was arrested for a marijuana charge? No, I don't. But the media buried that story. They refused to report on it. And we all remember the Jenna Bush, the Bush girls. Oh, they're drinking beer and how bad they are. The media went after the Bush girls for just drinking some beer. But then there's actually an arrest by a Democrat member's family member's arrest. And suddenly, oh, no, we're not going to cover that. Privacy. Everything else, they can't cover that kind of stuff anymore, because it'll end up on social media, and that's why the media, they despise it, because they don't get to set the agenda anymore, and they fought back quite hard, and to their credit, they've got some pretty big wins getting getting Alex Jones banned was a huge win for them. And moreover, not only was Alex Jones banned, but you can't even go on Facebook and say anything nice about Alex Jones, or you'll get banned too. This is Stalinistic kind of stuff. And that's why the media fundamentally did it. Is I don't, they don't have anything against Alex Jones. They don't, you know, what he said, he'd apologized for the Sandy Hook stuff over and over. So their main issue is they don't want the truth to come out, and they know that they've lost control over the narrative, and they're going to fight like heck to get that narrative back.
What do you make of the antitrust threats by the Trump administration? Are they going anywhere?
It should have been done years ago. Google controls 89% of search. YouTube controls, I think, 85-86% of video. Amazon controls 90% of e-books. You know, we're talking ballpark here. But those outlets, if they ban someone, that person's been completely shut out from the market. Well, we remember Department of Justice went after Bill Gates and Microsoft. Microsoft has less control over the market than these big tech companies have. Facebook has complete dominance in this area. So this antitrust stuff should have happened day one from the Trump administration. Day one, there should have been an antitrust investigation opened.
Have you been disappointed by, you know, obviously immigration was a huge issue, and we have more immigration than ever. This situation, the antitrust lawsuit here, some of the major things that Trump campaigned on, he's not following through. Does that bother you, or where do you think that's going to go with him or for him?
Sure. I mean, every day I'm frustrated with Trump. I just remind myself that if Hillary won, we would be in World War III, right? They all want to go to Syria. Now they want to go into Iran because allegedly Iran put some kind of landmine on a Japanese trade vessel.
Sure. So, yeah, sure.
You're like, okay, yeah, sure. First of all, yeah, sure they did. Second of all, the media tried to treat it through this deception, right? They'll just say, oh, there was a bomb put on a tanker. Like, no. Let's get this story right. It wasn't an attack on a U.S. vessel anyway. And people are too smart to fall for this kind of stuff anymore. And in that regard, I'm thrilled every day we have Trump because we're not in a catastrophic, disastrous, world-threatening event. But that said, yeah, I'm not. He hasn't kept his promises. And I don't have a lot of patience for Trump supporters who pretend that he's done things that he hasn't. I'm of the mind where if you say, I love Trump no matter what, great, good for you. I'm glad you love Trump. I'm cool. But if you actually lie and you try to tell me he's done things like the wall, finish the wall, okay, there is no wall being built. Oh, there's a couple slats. No, there's little repairs here and there. I don't have any patience for lies about someone. People can like who they like. They can root for who they want to root. But nearly everything that Trump people say other than about the economy, which is booming, it's just a lie. He hasn't done what he said he was going to do. And he missed a lot of opportunities, a lot of easy wins, especially with antitrust and big tech and free speech. That should have been day one agenda.
What is the most important out of all the things that you could mention there of what he has or has not done? What will be the most important for his reelection campaign?
Well, he ran on a strong economy. The jobs that remember Obama said, oh, he got a magic wand. People made fun of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I keep a good memory of what people have said in their predictions, and I remember that. Oh, he's got a magic wand. You can't bring these jobs back. GDP will never hit more than 3%. The market. I remember all this. Market's booming, and that's good. That's good for him when he runs for the presidency. That said, whether you're going to get people to come out to vote on the economy, I don't know. I would, you know, return to Wayne Gretzky and stand where the puck has been. I haven't seen any indication in my life that people run out to vote because the economy is good. People tend to run out to vote when they want change, when they really
want... If it's bad, they sure will.
Right. And that's unfortunately human nature. Human nature is, how often do we get great customer service and send an email to Delta or American Airlines? You know, I really, this person was fantastic. They made my day. They changed my flight. Nothing, but somebody, you know, spills a glass of water on her pant leg or something, it isn't going to stain. Boy, we're lighting people up. And that's human nature. So people don't rush out to vote because the economy is good. People say, yeah, economy is good. It's nice. I'm going to stay home and enjoy my air conditioning and take my boat out for the weekend. Right? That's just the reality. So a lot of people are counting on Trump to win on a strong economy, and I don't see that happening.
let's go back to Google and the discovery process. Okay, let's say in this discovery process that what you say is true. Tons of emails where all these Christians in their stupid, heterosexual views and all this. I can't stand Christians. We got to do everything. You know, what if stuff like that comes out? What do you think the public reaction will be?
Oh, it'll be bad. Because the Christians are being tired. Finally, Christians have been tired of being bullied and treated like, freak shows. I think it was Joy Behar who said, if you're a Christian and you pray to God, you're mentally ill, right? This is ABC mainstream stuff. This is what they think of Christians. They really despise them. And Christians, unfortunately, haven't banded together, which is weird because when I was a kid, Christians banded together in ways that I didn't agree with. So they would try to get rap music banned or something as vulgar language and everything. And I didn't actually agree with that, but at least they were doing something. And now they have real attacks on Christianity, real attacks on American values, and you can't get them to do anything. They're all afraid. You got drag queen kids, right? You got 11-year-olds performing, semi-ironic events and having dollars tossed on them in public schools. But you can't get them to protest that. And once they really, and I think that's because they're asleep, once they get out of their bubble and realize, no, you are despised by big tech. They loathe you. They banned Bible verses and Pinterest. They think you're disgusting. Once Christians figure this out, there's 70 million evangelicals in America. You only need 1 or 2%. You don't even need 10%. 1 or 2% of those 700,000 to 1.4 million of them get fired up and actually decide to do something, then Google's going to have to change policies pretty quickly.
I am out of my mind by some of the things you just mentioned. You know, the drag queen story time, the curriculum that's being introduced in some of these schools. I'm sitting here amazed, and you've just said it. Why in the world aren't Christians burning crosses or burning buildings down? I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, don't say burning crosses. They'll say that's a Klan reference.
Yeah.
that's another thing I learned as a public figure is they'll cut that bit out. Try to twist it.
Yeah, there's the music. Let me take a lesson from Mike. Edit that. Sorry. <Yeah. laughs> Stay tuned. There's a commercial. More with Mike Cernovich. DangerandPlay.com. Hoaxed the movie. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rinse.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rinse.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, thepowermall.com. Thepowermall.com. That's where we have the configuration of the fantastic products, natural products that help and bless your life. Thousands and thousands of customers over the years has said how they've changed their life. And that's what we want. We want the best. Natural products work, but you got to have the right source. You got to know what you're doing. That's a big part of this show. So 877-817-9829 on sale. The bentonite clay, 10% off. The 1 pound, the 4 pound, you got to have that for a variety of reasons. Deodorant. You're looking for a natural deodorant that works, that actually works. Silver Botanicals is the best. The roll-on, the spray-on, the refill, the even the mouthwash or the dog and bedding spray is great. Willard Water, the dark 16-ounce on sale. The protein powder, the maca protein powder, Inca warrior powder, the some natural aloe vera soaps also with that on sale, and the Topperson. The today is the last day, if you're listening, for the free shipping on the Strauss Heart Drops. Strauss Heart Drops, free shipping. Let us know. Give us a call, 877-817-9829. Of course, all the other great products, the full-spectrum vitamin E, the vitamin D, the detox cocktail, Sherry Rogers, the phosphatidylcholine, and the like, all at thepowermall.com. Give us a call. Thank you so much for your purchases. We don't get the checks from Google. We get the checks from you. That's what independent media, independent thought is. And we thank you for your support. We need your support, but you need to support us also. Because if we're not here, then what else is there? If Mike's not here, what else is there? Getting back to Mike Cernovich's website, dangerandplay.com. Among many things, author, of course, Guerrilla Mindset, last time he was on, I think we mentioned that. But the movie Hoaxed, he is the producer of the documentary film Hoaxed. Tell us a little bit about that process and what's Hoaxed about.
Yeah, hoaxedmovie.com, HOAXEDMOVIE.com. People can watch the trailer. Hoaxed is a documentary and a look into fake news and a look into how narratives are shaped, the wars that we've gone into and the lies the media have told about all of us.
The, you know, it's shocking to talk to family members or what have you. To me, obviously being involved in this, talking to people like you, I have a much different perspective. But talking to them and seeing the glassy look on their eyes and seeing the spell that they're under, it is real. It is disturbing, but it is real. Your comments.
Yeah, it's insane how fake and manufactured most of what people believe is. People don't realize that there's a battle for their mind. And the media is trying to take people in a very bad direction, a very negative direction, a very toxic direction. They're going after Christians. They're going after conservatives. They're going after, in fact, people on who are liberal, like Tulsi Gabbard, just because she doesn't support another, you know, major war and wherever they want us to go to war. And that's a very dangerous thing, and these lies have really hurt us.
Why so negative? Why does media push us in such a negative direction?
Well, because there's a lot of money in it. There's more money in fear. And this, of course, is our own problem, too, is there's a lot of money in war, and many of the people who own the media companies are also invested in Boeing and Boeing advertisers on CNN, right? All the military-industrial complex advertisers and media. And people do, unfortunately, like to focus on sensational, shocking, outrageous events. So the media is, in many ways, giving people what they want.
Do you see, you mentioned news and the way it used to be when you and I were young. You know, I can barely remember Walter Cronkite, but I do remember him a little bit. Walter Cronkite, and no matter what Walter said, that was just the way it is. That's the way it is. Do you think media, major media, corporate media, do you think they're scared that they have lost that gatekeeper status? Do you think they're desperate?
Oh, they're terrified, and they're freaking out. That's why they've attacked social media so much and why they've targeted so many people. It was a massive amount of power, and I can't blame them. It's only human nature to want to fight to preserve what's yours. That's why they target against social media, but only conservative social media. They're not trying to get any left-wing disinformation people banned. It's only about going after anyone who questions the mainstream media narrative.
So what does that tell you? I mean, this is a conspiracy beyond conspiracy. It's just what you just said, and going to your movie, Hoaxed.
Yeah, it's not really a conspiracy as much as it is just groupthink. They have power. They made tons of money on advertising. They had no accountability. It's a pretty good gig. If you think about it, you can be a journalist or a commentator and just be wrong all the time, wrong about everything, and you'll keep getting promoted and rising up in the ranks, so the networks are making record profits. Social media disrupted all of that. The audience changed. Their ability to manipulate and dictate the agenda changed. And their ability to make that record profits has also changed.
Do you think the people, the architects of the internet, do you think they foresaw the, seismic change that was going to go on with media, with news, with society, with the way things were? Do you think they saw that at the beginning, or at least near the beginning?
No. No, everybody in the media thought social media was great because at first they want democracy, or they claim to, and social media gives other people a voice. And then they realized, oh, wait, not everybody thinks like we do. Not everybody wants to go to war. Not everybody wants to, have World War III and destroy innocent people's lives. And not everyone hates Christians like we do. So we need to really fix this and really have something done about it.
Why would they target Christians? Why do they have such vitriol for Christians particularly?
Because they can. There's a natural hatred, I think, of people who go into the media. And Christians are one of the only groups of people. You can hate straight white men, and they're even starting to hate straight gay men, actually. That's changed. There were articles saying that Peter Thiel, for example, wasn't a real gay, because if you're a Republican, you're suddenly, a target now from the media. And there's a lot of sociopathy involved. A lot of these people are not necessarily good people.
That's the understatement of the year, I think you said, Mike.
Yeah.
Who should watch this movie, Hoaxed? Hoaxed the movie.
Well, I mean, every man, woman, and child should. Well, everyone over 13 probably. There's a couple, it's not a foul language, but, it's a PG-13. And everybody should, because it gives people a deeper understanding of not just but media, but also truth.
And, if people are going to share, our audience really likes to share and to give things. I love things that I can give to people. Instead of me arguing with them or trying to convince them, I just say, here, Tom or Susie or whatever, look at this video. What do you think of that? This is really interesting. How would this movie fit into that dynamic?
It's everybody who watches it has loved it. The ratings are through the roof. People can go to imdb.com. And if I had millions of dollars to advertise this movie, it would be at the level of Michael Moore was in his heyday. And there's absolutely no question about that. It would be major, major blockbuster. But we didn't have the millions of dollars to market it, so now we're doing a kind of underground cult classic, so to speak.
You look at the world certainly through a magnifying glass and spend a lot more time on it than the average person does, certainly. Do you get the feeling of just a surreal nature? You know, during the break a little bit, we talked about all the censorship, the violence, the potential, the where this is going. And it's almost like America is watching this go by like a car on a street, and we're just watching it go by and not doing anything. Do you think that dynamic will change? What is it that will change it? What will motivate a certain percentage of people to get convicted about something to stop this push towards censorship and tyranny?
The mainstream Christians have been targeted now by Pinterest and others. That'll definitely wake people up. Or you can't even practice your religion in America. That's a fundamental American values, that you free exercise of religion. So that I think that'll do it. The people will realize, hey, they really do hate me. They really do hate my family. They really do want to destroy me, and they're not tolerant. They're the bigots. They are the ones who are Christian phobes, and something, you know, needs to be done. And that pressure, you know, just you call in, advertise. There's so many different things that the left does. If Christians started doing it, there would be major change.
I'm of the opinion where we are now is that conviction is going to win. Either side, conviction on left, so-called left, conviction on conservative side, Christian side, whatever. Conviction will win. Who will drum up enough conviction to push through this malaise that we're seeing? There's a story out of Britain. This happened a few months ago in a real heavy Muslim populated school district. They were pushing the LGBT curriculum in the schools. Well, the parents went berserk, the Muslim parents, and said, this is not our values. This is not what we want. The school district said, we don't care. We're doing it. The parents got together and pulled 600 students out of the school. They pulled them all out and said, we will never attend one more day of school until you change this. And the school district, it almost seems inconceivable to Americans, the school district did a complete 180 and said, we will take it out tomorrow.
Right. Rather than be paranoid about Muslims or angry at Muslims, which unfortunately a lot of Trump supporters are, they ought to learn from them. And Muslims, and they got organized. They said, we're not going to allow this kind of stuff. Because me, I don't think sex ed at all should be taught to little kids, let alone,
no.
For me, it's not even about gay sex. It shouldn't be taught at that young of an age. High school, there's a debate to be had. But junior high and grade school, absolutely not. It's really creepy. And they got together. They banded together. And that's what Christians would do. Just every Christian should say, okay, we're not going to bring our kids to school. Well, what if the media attacks us? They're going to call us bigots. Okay, well, then make sure you have the back of your other Christians. Make sure that if that person tries to get fired, well, great, you're going to go protest that job. You're going to protest that employer. You're going to stand together.
Well, I think you're answering the question I was about to ask, but why don't churches? I cannot believe, I am out of my mind about this, that Christian churches aren't standing up to some of the curriculums that are coming now. I'm out of my mind about it.
Yeah, there's too much buddy Jesus stuff for the Christians, right? Oh, anything goes. We don't have morals. And it's almost like a very weak self-help movement now, where you're not going to actually stand up for the rights to be a Christian and to practice your religion. Joel Osteen, for example, I like his stuff, actually. You know, so I'm not hating on him necessarily, but could you imagine him trying to say that Pinterest is saying the Bible is hate speech? Get on the phone. What if he did that, right? Said, get on the phone and call Pinterest and say that the Bible is not hate speech. Things would change overnight. They wouldn't know what to do, right, if that was just one person did that. But none of them are doing that.
What you have a certain edge about you, a certain aggressiveness about you that I think is needed, certainly in this time. What gives you that edge?
Well, I grew up with nothing, man. So for me, I was going to either make it, and I got bullied as a kid. I was either going to fight back, and I was going to make it happen, or nothing in my life was going to happen. So for me, the self-pitying, this crying that I hear from a lot of conservatives, oh, the double standards and the whining. If I sat around saying, you know, it isn't fair that I grew up poor, and because I was poor, I wasn't able to get a lot of the opportunities other people were, that would have got me nowhere. I had to figure out a way to make it happen, And the way you make it happen is you have to aggressively push for towards your goals. That's the way I pursue everything in life. If I want something, I just aggressively make it happen. I don't sit around whining. And that's unfortunately because America was a country of largesse, where you could, go to college, get a good job, live a nice life, maybe have a pension. People got spoiled, especially the older people who we need baby boomers on the phone, man. We need baby boomers on the phone, especially Christian baby boomers, especially people who are retired and have time. They're the ones we need on the phone because they're the ones that have the most time to do it, and those are the ones who could and should be doing it, and we're not seeing much from them. And that's what I want to encourage people to do is take action. There's just, I'm not talking, I don't like the people who want to talk about, oh, there's going to be blood in the streets. I don't want war. We see what happens overseas. That's a terrible thing, but people need to get on the telephone. They need to start calling these companies up, and they need to start saying that we're not going to support your decision to treat Christians like hate criminals.
A lot of our audience, they certainly see what's going on with the media. I don't know quite where you stand on this. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but our audience sees a giant conspiracy that is changing culture, that is subverting our Declaration of Independence, really trying to destroy it to create some sort of one world government, whatever it is. I'm of the opinion, that whoever is manipulating society this way, the media, all these entities, the censorship, the big government, big ag, big corporations, they need us way more than we need them. And we haven't quite figured that out yet, that they need our attention. They need our minds. They need our sympathy. And if we just withdraw it, we basically withdraw all their power.
Right. They don't have any power if they're not propagandizing you. And in the meantime, where are people going to go is a fundamental issue. It's hard to find out information. There's DuckDuckGo, which is kind of an upstart, and there's Bing and other companies. But if you're looking for information, whether you want a recipe for banana bread or, symptoms of a health crisis, you kind of need to, you still need that portal, unfortunately. And you want to work, with them right now if you can. And say, look, your bigotry, your hatred, your hate speech isn't going to be tolerated. And then if they refuse to change or listen, then, of course, you're going to have to boycott.
Let's change gears a little bit. We got about, 8 or 9 minutes. My family, all my children have been home birthed, and I've been pretty open about it and trying to encourage people, what have you. And I found out that your last child also home birth. What made you make that decision?
We watched the business of giving birth, actually. I never thought Ricky Lake would ever influence any decision in my life. But, we learned about C-sections and a lot of the reasons how having a baby is treated like a medical emergency. Even in TV, you realize how TV manipulates a lot of your perception. Oh my God, your water broke. Everybody rushed into the car. We have to find where it's an emergency. It's not a medical emergency, actually. It's a quite not pleasant. That's easy for me to say, but it's certainly much better for the woman to do it at home, around her family, rather than you're in the hospital and they're rushing you, or if it's taking too long, they want to immediately do a C-section. There's a lot of real issues with childbirth, C-sections, and the business of giving birth was highly persuasive.
For those of you who've never seen the movie, The Business of Being Born, Ricky Lake is one of the main stories in there. She goes through basically her decision-making process of why she decided to give home birth. And it's, like Mike said, it's pretty compelling stuff. And it really helped my wife and I make the decision. The same video, which was, I thought, very ironic. The abortion.
That's the power of film, by the way. And that's why people need to be making more film. Like, you and I both made a decision based on a documentary we had watched. There's a lesson there.
Let's talk about the abortion issue or the abortion question. You have part of the country which is going full bore. The child can be born and you can kill it. Another part that's want to go back to 1970. I mean, we're starting to polarize on this issue pretty strong. It's setting up for a showdown with the Supreme Court, I guess, eventually answering this. You're a lawyer. You're a journalist. You see these issues. give us a framework of what we're looking at, what the debate looks like, and what the Supreme Court is going to be looking at probably very soon.
Yeah, this is very tricky because the left went way too far on abortion. I think if you pull the issue, most people in America think that early first trimester should be legal, and then partial birth abortion, which is a euphemism for killing a baby, is beyond the pale. And that was the generally accepted consensus. You know, very hardcore pro-life people believe life begins at conception, and, you know, that's a reasonable belief people have. But the 90% of America would say, well, not 90% of America, but the majority of Americans would say, well, you know, the first trimester, that's kind of tricky. But wait a minute, 8 months? Are you kidding me? That's murder. So 90% of the country opposes those procedures, especially when you learn how those procedures truly work. It isn't she takes a pill and it is all peaceful. It's actually quite gory. I saw some of the pictures and I almost threw up, and I have a pretty strong stomach. So there are people wanting to, you know, enact restrictions. And fortunately, I don't think the Supreme Court is going to ever overrule Roe versus Wade, but I don't know, maybe if Trump wins a re-election, Ruth Bader Ginsburg retires, he puts on, I think Amy Korbach, I forget her name right now, but he puts on a really pro-life justice. It could happen. Roe versus Wade could be overruled in Trump's next term.
Do you see Roe versus Wade overturned? I see that maybe it could go back to the states. So on a federal level, we're not deciding this. Go back to the states. Do you see that possibility?
Roe versus Wade was. Roe versus Wade made it so that as a matter of federal
yes.
law, states couldn't regulate abortion. So overturning Roe versus Wade would leave abortion legal in California. It would be legal in New York. It would be legal in Connecticut. It would be legal in Vermont. It would be legal in probably a majority of states. And then other states like Alabama might have a heartbeat bill. So if people recognize that, you know, the first couple of weeks, that's kind of tricky maybe. But once there's a heartbeat, then that's where they're starting to determine that life begins. So there'll be all kinds of different state laws, just as there are for many other issues.
As a lawyer, as a show host, and, I've written a book, I look at this stuff all the time. I have just a hard time believing this concept that life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the right of abortion. I mean, that's America, right? You're born with a right of abortion. That's basically what we're being told. I just have such a hard time with that.
Well, this is where the left has definitely gone way too far, even with people like me. I was one of those people who, you know, first trimester, you know, I kind of get it. People are in a difficult spot. But they now they've got to the point where they're celebrating abortion, and abortion should never be celebrated. Even if you are pro-choice, you should never think, oh, isn't it great that this woman found herself in a predicament where she needed to terminate a pregnancy? That's a very sad thing. It should be treated with gravitas. This is quite serious. Whether if you're pro-life, you're viewed as a killing, but even if you're pro-choice, you should say, wow, you know, what led this person to these decisions? This is a very difficult position she was in. This is not something that we should glamorize. But instead, the left has said, oh, shout your abortion. Abortion's great. They think it's funny. They tell jokes about it. That's going to turn off. In fact, it's turned off people like me who, like I said, I was relatively pro-choice in terms of first trimester, and I'm becoming a pro-lifer because of this stuff.
We've seen there's a story in the news we covered this morning about Hollywood. They're not meeting expectations, the numbers, the new sequels. I mean, we're in the summer movies, and they are not hitting expectations and projections. We're seeing, and this ties together with abortion, and I'll tell you why. Miley Cyrus recently put up a meme, a big picture, where she had a cake, and on the cake it said, abortion is health care. And I just look at that like, abortion's a lot of things, it's not health care. I just don't see it as health care. Do you see that connection between Main Street America and Hollywood is getting bigger and bigger, or the connection is getting severed? I just don't see normal Americans, they just don't relate to Hollywood anymore.
No, and they don't relate to that level of debauchery. Most Americans are compassionate people and can understand that people find themselves in difficult positions, and maybe you compromise a little bit because of this. That's most Americans. It's very complicated. And what the left is doing now by celebrating it. This is not something to celebrate. That's going to be actually a major problem.
You live in California, and I haven't been there. It's been quite a few years since I've been to L.A., but we see pictures of tents on sidewalks, and you know, is this real? Is this America? You live in California. You maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. I don't know. What is going on down there? What does it look like?
Well, in L.A., there was typhus. 100% there was typhus outbreak in Los Angeles. No, there are fleas on rats. The rats run around in the homeless encampments, and then they, of course, run into walls of L.A. Now L.A. city workers are getting sick. This is all true. This is the media doesn't want to talk about it because they want to say the old line used to be, hey, all of you people in red states, you can cry all you want, but the greatest states are California and New York. They make the most money. GDP is the highest. The innovation is coming out of there. Therefore, you people better know your place and know that these are the best. Well, now as it turns out in San Francisco, you can barely walk down a block without stepping on human fecal matter. And now in L.A., there's typhus. This is like the plague. This is the Middle Ages. And there's drug use everywhere, drug needles everywhere. That goes against the narrative that, you know, you people better listen to the Democrats.
Well, there's the music. Dangerandplay.com is the website. What's the website for the movie again, Mike?
Hoaxedmovie.com. HoaxedMovie.com.
Hoaxedmovie.com. I highly recommend it. Mike is
going to add. Cervix.com is my main site right now. So CERNOVICH.com is the best place.
Cernovich.com. Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure. I have enjoyed it. And God bless you. God keep you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Till next time, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Have a fantastic evening, and we'll see you tomorrow. ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY.